For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Prayer this morning as we come around the precious and powerful Word of God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your direction. We thank you that you have sent the Holy Ghost and that He is the Spirit of truth that leads us into all truth. I ask that every one of us here would be open to your truth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're looking at the Word of God in our heart. The Word of God in our heart. You should know something about this. We've talked much about it in the past. I want to look at a few more aspects of it and take us a bit further in the Lord so that we can be people that are relied upon by the Lord. Relied upon by the Lord. Because we're not swayed by external experiences, or we're not swayed by particular words outside of the Word of God, or by people that might speak against us, but we're only moved by the Spirit of God in line with His Word. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is necessary for Christian life. We know that it is spiritual food. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's Matthew 4 verse 4, and other scriptures say the same thing. So we know that it is necessary for us to grow, to develop, to increase in our understanding and knowledge of the Lord. Let's look at Romans 12. We're going to look at verses 1 to 8 of Romans 12. Many of us would be familiar with verses 1 and 2, but we're going to go a bit further into the chapter today. Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. Now, I'll read this through and then we'll take you through it. Starting from verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So, going through this, we see that there are various gifts and abilities and graces that have been given to the body of Christ. And we are people that have been born again. And if we're born again, God has put into us, remember that five finger message? God has given his people five fingers, and that's representative of God has given us, every one of us, something to contribute into the kingdom of God. Now we see that there are things we need to do in order to be able to contribute in the right way. That is, in order to be able to give maximum benefit to the kingdom of God, to the body of Christ. And we see that there's a couple of things we need to do in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says that for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, this is something we need to actively do. We need to say, Lord, I present my body as a living sacrifice. The Lord's been laying it on my heart to do that, not only to do that, but to remind us all that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that is an action we need to do, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. God says that it is holy and acceptable unto God to do this. And it says that it is our reasonable service. Now, we are servants of God. You know, some false words call us slaves to God, but that's wrong. We are servants. We are sons and daughters that serve God. Okay? That's who we are. We are servants, and the Bible talks about our reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's part of the sacrifice, the spiritual sacrifices that we give as kings and priests to God. We are priests to God. We've been made that through the blood of Jesus. Verse 2, notice the word and. So it connects to what we've just said. Okay, if you don't present your body as living sacrifice, then you're liable to look at the wrong things. You're liable to listen to the wrong things. You're liable to do the wrong things. And you're liable to use your body in the wrong way and not to look after it and so on and so on. But if you do present it as a living sacrifice, then the and comes in for verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Okay, the world has an agenda, it has a message, it has a word. We're talking about the word of God in our heart today. There is a word that comes out of the world. And the word is not pro-Bible. It is not for the word of God. It is against the word of God. Anyone that is spiritual will know that. It is not hard to see that or understand that. The very fact that there is a doctrine out there that says that there is no God, that everything that you see came about by chance, random process, the very fact that there's that doctrine out there pushed by the world shows that the world is not a neutral place. This is why God says, be not conformed to this world. Now this part's very important. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, it is no use saying, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Because if you said that to me, I'd say, go to verse 2 here and read it and tell me how you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you would say to me, all right, I'm reading it. I've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. See, spiritual people understand that their spirits have been born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3 tells us that. But we know that our bodies need training in the Lord. That's why you've got to present your body as a living sacrifice. And we know that our minds, our souls, which is made up of the mind, will and emotions, have not been born again either. So it has to be renewed. It has to be changed. And the way it's changed is through the Word of God. That's where you find the will of God. Is through God's Word. God's Word and the Spirit of God will talk to you and lead you in line with the Word of God. This is why we emphasize the Word so much, because you have to get your body in line, you have to get your mind in line, you have to, if you want to know what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life is, well then you have to get your mind renewed to think along God's thoughts. What does God think about things? What does God think about the world? Does he see the world as a neutral place? Well, no, you'd go to the scriptures, you'd say, you'd see the Bible, it says, they have no friendship with the world, and the world is against Christ. You'd see all these things, and you'd know what the nature of the world is. You'd know what the nature of the church is. You'd know what the word of God is, and so on. So your mind starts to think along what God says about things. This is why we emphasize it over and over again. Verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me. So Paul acknowledges grace, God's enabling's been given unto him. He was a great preacher, as you know. He was an apostle. He was a man that established churches. He obviously wrote much of the New Testament through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So we know that he was used of God. But do you know that he wasn't a self-made man? You know, we've read that in Psalm 100. We haven't made ourselves. It is God who has made us. So what gave him the ability to do all these things? Okay? He didn't just wake up one day and, you know, I think I've got the ability to do all these things. No. He acknowledged that there was something that had been given to him through the grace given unto me. We need to acknowledge that there is grace enablings given unto us as well. Okay? Some of us can do things which, you know, I couldn't do or you couldn't do. We all have different abilities. We have different things to offer to the kingdom of God. And this is what God wants us to know. He wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. He wants us to be renewed in our minds, transformed by the renewing of our minds. He wants that so that we're thinking along the right lines. In verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Okay, this is where, oh, I'm a self-made person, or what I've got is, you know, what I've generated, etc., etc. No, no, no. If you're a born-again Christian, you know that God has invested things into you. Remember the five-finger message. Okay? God has put things into you. Now you have to lift the fingers up and get to work. God teaches our fingers to fight. Okay? You have to lift it up and get to work. Notice what it says. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt you a measure of faith. What you do with it is up to you. You can plant it, you can use it, and it will, what? Grow. It will increase. Or you can be like a person who just buries and says, "Oh, God's given me nothing. He's, you know, oh, he's done this." And start to blame God. But you don't do that. You look to you look at what God has given you, and you see, "Well, I offer this to you, Lord. I am a priest and a king that you have made me to be in the kingdom of God." So God has obviously equipped us. Now he wants us to do something with that equipping. We don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Okay, we must think of ourselves as God has made us, not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. He's made us the sheep of his pasture, and he is leading us. Verse 4, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Okay? So, not everyone is called, and you probably realise this, not everyone's called to the office of pastor. Not everyone's called to the office of teacher. Not everyone's called to the office of evangelist. Not everyone's called to the office of apostle. Not everyone's called to the office of prophet. Okay? And not everyone is called to do various other things in the body of Christ. So what has God done? Well, he has, now remember, it's come from God. He has put certain people. Ephesians 4 talks about that Christ has given gifts to the church. He talks about apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, and so on. So we know that there are particular offices in the church. We should respect that. We should respect that. And it's not just this church. It's right across this nation, for example, and across this planet. There's various people in various offices in the body of Christ. Now, notice it says one body. That means that we are meant to be in unison in that one body. Sadly, across the planet now, there's a lot of fracturing in the body of Christ. A lot of false doctrine, a lot of fracturing, a lot of worldliness and so on. A lot of compromise. I believe that as we get closer and closer to the second coming, that's going to change so that Christ is presented with a spotless church, okay? That what's going to happen is there's going to be a clean out so that all the wrong things are spewed out of the mouth of Christ, out of the body of Christ, and all the right things come into line until there's a spotless church. You might say, oh, that sounds impossible. No, it's prophecy. It's Bible prophecy. Okay, so if you want to learn more about that, you can, on the website, listen to The Victorious Church, parts 1 to 5. Go and download it. Listen to it. It's on there. So we see here, and we'll read it again, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We should be interacting one with each other. Not fighting, not in great conflict with each other, but in unity. The Bible calls it the unity of the brethren. Okay, what's the unity based on? The Word of God. The Word of God in each of our hearts individually. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 16, for example, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay, so you have to have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly so that we can all be in unity together in that one body. We acknowledge we've got different offices, we've got different gifts. Look at verse 6. Notice what it says here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So there are gifts that we've been given. This is where the difference comes. Not a difference in terms of conflict, but a difference in terms of function. So we function together in line with the Word of God so that we can work as one body. You know, you don't want the body to start walking in this direction, but this leg wants to go in that direction. It just won't work. And it's the same with the body of Christ. At the moment, as I said, there's a great fracturing, a great disunity right across the planet. And that's got to be dealt with. That's got to be changed before Christ returns. And the Bible talks about that. We believe it to be the church restitution of the future. So that's coming up. Praise the Lord. So we see, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So there is grace, enabling. You have a gift, but you've got to say, I acknowledge that that grace has been given to me to operate in that gift. Okay, Paul talked about verse 9, he said, I say through the grace given unto me. Okay, so he acknowledged there was grace given to him, and he talks about there are gifts differing according to the grace given to us. And he goes on further, he talks about various gifts. And they're not all the spiritual gifts of the of 1 Corinthians 12, you'll notice. But he's talking about various things that we could do in the body of Christ in line with the Word of God. So whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, prophesying is not just for one or two people, but as you grow, you can also have your faith growing to prophesy, and God can even add graces to you. And this is important to understand. Okay? So, yes, you may not prophesy as a young Christian because you, for example, may not even know about it, but as you learn, as you understand, I would that all people, all God's people, prophesied. You understand that? Then you can, according to the proportion of faith, do that and grow in that. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministering. Okay, we all have some sort of ministry to offer in the body of Christ. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Notice these are things we can do. Things we can do. Some of us have graces that are specific for these things. You need to seek the Lord and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I fit in? Show me through your word, and so on. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So we see that there are things we can do, we must acknowledge, but notice it all comes back to right at the beginning. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not going my own way, Lord. It's a living sacrifice. And we don't conform to the world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we have to start to think along the lines of what God wants us to think. Praise the Lord. We'll go back to Romans 10, first of all, verses 8 and 9. Romans 10, verses 8 and 9. Now this tells us where the word is to be in our lives, and it's part of that renewing of the mind to see where we fit, where what we are to do, and how we are to serve the Lord. Okay? Remember, we're not on the planet Earth to glorify ourselves. We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, as we saw before. We're to think, well, this is what God has made me. This is what God has put into me. I acknowledge the Lord. I praise the Lord. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, if you've done that, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that is, he's alive, you're saved. Okay? It's not a hard thing to be saved. All right, what makes it hard is when people refuse to bow the knee. If you come to Christ, believe on him, receive him as your Saviour, repent of your sin, turn away from that, go his way. You're saved. Praise the Lord. But you have to acknowledge the word right up at the front. So the gospel comes to people. They have to acknowledge this is a word from God. Okay? And that's how they get it into your heart. So as you are Christians now, it's still the heart believing, isn't it? The inner man has to believe. But now you're believing to other things. You're believing to be able to operate according to the gift that's been given to you and the grace for you to be able to operate in that gift. You start to understand the word of God and you say, well, I bow the knee to what God is saying there. I'm not going to be rebellious in this area. I bow the knee. And you come... See, who here believes that... you know, you should be more advanced and more full of faith than you were when you were just a baby Christian. You should be more advanced than when you were back then. Okay, if you've been in the Lord several years, you should be further along the line of development, sanctification, okay, than you were back then. Back then, you're like this unformed, sort of this new baby that needs to grow. Things need to be done for you, obviously. And now, you've grown. You should have grown. You know, you should have. Sadly, in the body of Christ, there's some 30, 40-year-old babies. Why? Because they haven't done right at the beginning to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. They haven't started to renew their minds. And they've stayed in an unformed place, and that's not a good place to be. Okay, many have fallen right away, but let's assume that there's still some that are babies right into their older age as a Christian, and they're just going through the motions, but they haven't grown. What? Well, how can that change? Well, they have to get the word of God into their heart and into their mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. They have to understand the place of preaching have to understand the place of the Word of God in their life. Then go across to verse 17 of Romans 10. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Exposure to the Word of God is absolutely crucial for us to grow, for us to develop, for us to understand what we can do to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our life. And God wants us to expand. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay in one place. But faith will come by that hearing, okay, that being attentive to the Word. Faith will come. Romans 15, let's go across to that. Verses 1 to 7. Romans 15, 1 to 7. Okay, so this starts to show us how we should be as grown-up Christians, as people that have grown up or are growing up. Okay, so we're not now looking at the baby type of Christians. We know baby type of Christians need to be fed and nurtured and helped. But now, if you've grown in the Lord, you know, even if you had enemies all around you, even if you had people of unbelief all around you, you should be able to stand by faith in the Lord. Okay? Now, Romans 15, starting from verse 1, says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So how did you become strong as a Christian? You fed on the Word, didn't you? Okay, you fed on the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You let the Word of faith come into your heart and into your mouth. So you became strong. You get stronger. So what happens? What's the trait of a person who's strong? What does it say here? You start to bear the infirmities of the weak. Okay? What do you want to do with the weak? You want to help them, don't you? You want to help them to come to a place of strength. You don't want to keep them in weakness. You want to help them to come to a place of strength. And not to please ourselves. Okay? How do you know someone's immature in the Lord? They're after, you know, they think a lot about themselves. Do you know little babies and little children? Have a guess what? They concentrate a lot on themselves. A lot on themselves. And if you had little children, you'll know about that. But as they grow older and stronger, have a guess what? They start to look at other people and think about what other people, have a bit of consideration for other people. And if you've had children, you'll know that that's the case as well. Okay, so how do you know people that are immature in the Lord? Well, they're still thinking about themselves. They're still thinking about, oh, what can I get for myself? Well, I'll go and fellowship over there because, oh, it's nice and tingly for my feelings. Or I'll go over there because such and such is there and, you know, who knows, it might be helpful for me in my career, etc., etc. What I'm saying is, we've got to come into growth and go further, go past. Lord, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? You see what I mean? And grow. Because the great indication of an unformed Christianity, of babies in Christ, assuming that people are born again, is that they're still thinking about themselves. But as you get older in the faith, what happens? You start to want to please others, help others. You start to want to and you should grow in this. You acknowledge, Lord, you've given me five fingers to fight for you, and I want to use all of them. So you start to lift a finger for the Lord, and then another finger, and then another finger, and then all your five fingers are lifted for the Lord. And that's why it says, we then that are strong. Can you be strong in the Lord? Yes, you can. But it's not going to come about through chance. It comes about through application. You and me applying ourselves to the ways of the Lord. Isn't that what the scripture says? We've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and we should walk in them because we've been ordained to walk in them. Okay? Good works for the Lord. We weren't saved by good works, but clearly we're meant to do good works for the Lord. Verse 2. And remember, this is talking about people that are a bit more developed in the Lord now. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. So you're thinking about the body of Christ now, aren't you? How can I help Matthew? Or how can I help Vince? Or how can I help Katrina or Samantha or Betty or Joe? How can I help them, you know, in the Lord? And you want to develop them. You want to help them. And that's what it says in verse 2. This is a person who is no longer a baby Christian thinking about themselves, pleasing themselves. Okay? But now they see their part in the body of Christ. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good to edification. God wants the body to be edified, to be strengthened. And you're thinking about your neighbour. 4. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So what's that saying? Jesus is our example. He didn't please himself. You know, he said, I come to do the will of the Father. And he did the will of the Father when he was on earth. What should we be doing? The will of the Father when we're on earth. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to be people of God that glorify God and acknowledge he has done a work in me. He has given me gifts. He has given me abilities. He has given me grace. And now I need to step out by faith and use that and do what God has called me to do. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It's important for us to be students of the word of God. So we look and notice Paul in the New Testament here is writing the book of Romans, so he's hearkening back to the Old Testament and he's talking to New Testament Christians, that's you and me. He's talking to us and he's saying, those things which were written aforetime, talking particularly about the Old Testament there, were written for our learning. So, of course, the New Testament is written for our learning as well. But we can't neglect the Old Testament. We should be people that know a bit about it and increase in that as well. So, when we go back into the Old Testament, we don't look, for example, in 1 Kings and say, oh, this is just a story about kings. No, we think about, okay, wait a minute. I'm a king. I can learn something out of this. I can learn what to do as a king or what not to do as a king. I'm in rulership. I should be able to learn a few things out of this. And if you approach the scriptures in that way, that it's current for you today because of the Holy Ghost as the author speaking to you today, you can learn. You can learn things, as it says there, for our learning. But if you approach it in the wrong way, we're going to look at, you know, what's the context back for them, and oh, it's only written for them, or those people back then. It's not for me today. That's old, dry and dusty. Let's forget about that. No. You come to the scriptures. Lord, I want to have your word speak to me. Speak to me through your word. Show me. You come prayerfully to the scriptures. It's you, and you can say, well, you've promised that it's for my learning, Lord. I ask that you show me that I can increase in my learning. That's what it says there, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So you'll see patience and comfort right through the scriptures as you go through it. Why do we need that? Because you're living in a world that's so much against the Lord. You need to have God's thoughts about things. God's thoughts. What do you want me to do, Lord? Let's keep on going. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. You see, he hearkens back to the scriptures for our learning, and then he says we should be like-minded one toward another. We should be with one mind and one mouth glorifying God. Now, this is an indication of people that have grown up. People who have increased past the baby stage. They're no longer seeking just to please themselves, just to try and get an itching ear de-itched. They're not trying to, you know, they're not trying to get the things just for themselves. What they're wanting to do is, I want to edify the body of Christ, Lord. Show me how to do that. I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. I know you've invested in me, and none of us can say we haven't had gifts invested into us. I know you've put gifts into me. Show me, Lord. Teach me. Show me your ways. And I'll finish on Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. Now, there's other things I want to go on in this, so we'll do a part 2 of the Word of God in our heart. But let's have a look at Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. So, think of yourself as a person who's increasing. And as you present your body as a living sacrifice, as you get your mind renewed in the ways of the Lord, you should increase. You shouldn't be going backwards if you've done those things. You should increase with the Word of God in your heart and the Word of God in your mouth. You should be increasing more and more. Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. What is God doing with us? He is teaching us. He's given the scriptures for our learning. Not just so that we can please ourselves, but so that we can do the work which the Lord has called us to do in this earth, and it needs it. There are people who are desperate for the truth. Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." You have to see that God is teaching you. So you say, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength." He is my strength. He is your strength. But say it out loud. Say, "Thank you, Lord. You are my strength." Don't let a day go by when you don't say that. And he's teaching your hands to war. Okay, so we've gone back into the Old Testament. This is an application for us today because we are in a warfare. The Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare. So he can teach our hands to war as well. And my fingers to fight. So we can lift a finger to help, not just one finger, but all our five fingers. And then we can go on to the ten, the others, five fingers on the other hand as well. But all the five fingers of this hand to fight. Okay, fight what? Fight the good fight of faith, which has to be in line with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. I thank you, Father, for the gifts that you've given into every one of our hearts, every one of our lives. Lord, I ask that every one of us, that you prompt us and show us where you've given these things. Show us, remind us. We may have let them lie dormant, but show us and remind us, Lord, so that we may use them for your glory, according to the grace you've given us. I thank you, Father, and I praise you. And Lord, we do not seek to please ourselves. We seek to please our neighbour, the edification of the body of Christ. And we praise you, Lord, and thank you for what you're doing. You're doing glorious things in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.